Hi, I'm Riley Fessler. I'm a podcast producer here at the DSR Network, which means that my job is to make sure that we have great content and great guests across all of our shows. Our programming is supported by our members, and for that, we are truly grateful. I hope that you'll consider becoming a member to support the work that we do. Members receive an ad-free listening experience, bonus content for nearly all of our shows, early access to episodes, enhanced show notes, and access to our exclusive DSR Slack and Discord communities. Membership is just $7 per month or $70 per year. To become a member, please visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy. Thank you very much for your support. Good morning and welcome to the DSR Daily, our Monday edition. I am your host today to usher you into this new week alongside my co-host, Chris Cotnar. Chris, how are you today and how was your weekend?
Doing great. Oh, it was fantastic.
Sounds like
I was at a swim meet in North Carolina for the whole weekend and got home at 2 a.m. last night.
Oh, lovely. Well, now that you're well rested, would you like to share with us your first story?
Former President Donald Trump is facing the $454 million judgment deadline, which is today. The case was brought about by New York Attorney General Letitia James. Despite the 30-day grace period, the looming deadline threatens Trump's financial stability, requiring him to secure a massive bond to delay payment while appealing, which he has not been able to secure at this point. While he explores options like selling assets or leveraging his social media company's shares, Trump risks having his bank accounts frozen and property seized, which could significantly impact his business and personal finances. The situation also carries political and personal implications, emphasizing the severe consequences of the judgment and the intricate legal battle ahead. Riley.
As we saw in the news over the weekend, there was a horrifying attack at Crocus City Hall in Moscow, which left at least 137 dead and over 100 injured. And we now know that four men have been charged with terrorism by Russian authorities in connection to the attack. The Islamic State has claimed responsibility, which has been substantiated by a very gruesome video of the massacre. Despite that, Russia has implicated Ukraine without proof. A claim that Kyiv has dismissed as absurd, especially given that ISIS has already claimed responsibility. And, you know, with that video, it seems pretty clear that they are indeed responsible. The accused appeared in court and were visibly abused and in severe physical distress after it seems clear that they were tortured by Russian authorities. Two of them have admitted guilt. And this highlights kind of interesting global heightened security alert, notably in France. And it has also kind of highlighted the fact that international cooperation on counterterrorism is facing challenges due to Russia's actions in Ukraine. The U.S. actually had warned Russia of a potential attack earlier this month, which the Kremlin dismissed as propaganda. So it's clear that these issues are still taking place even as Russia wages its war in Ukraine. And it seems that we clearly need to place a greater international focus on security. Chris.
The European Union antitrust regulators have announced an investigation into Apple, Google, and Meta for potential violations of the Digital Markets Act, effective since March 7th. These companies, identified as gatekeepers due to their dominant services like search engines, social networks, and chat apps, are suspected of not fully complying with the DMA's requirements to promote competition and offer users more choices. Specific areas under scrutiny include Google's practices in Google Play and Search, Apple's App Store regulations and Safari browser options, Meta's consent model, and Apple's new fee structure for alternative app stores, as well as Amazon's marketplace ranking practices. The EU aims to complete these investigations within a year. This, of course, comes on the story that we reported last week in which the Department of Justice brought a lawsuit against Apple for antitrust violations. So it seems like we're getting a lot more active in the tech sector, which makes me happy. Although, again, if you've listened to this podcast in the past, you know how I feel about some of these lawsuits and regulations. Riley?
Keeping the focus on the EU, the bloc's ambitious plan to combat climate change and enhance nature protection has been indefinitely delayed due to widespread farmer protests and the upcoming June EU parliamentary elections. So this is a major component of the EU's European Green Deal, which has aimed at making Europe the first climate-neutral continent by 2050 and has faced unexpected opposition, putting its future in jeopardy. It had previously overcome the EU's complex legislative process, but it now lacks the required majority for final approval, partially due to Hungary's last-minute change of stance. And the setback reflects broader tensions between environmental goals and agricultural concerns. We've covered these farmer protests on this show before, and they have just continued even since then over several months. And member states are demanding flexibility to address the impact of environmental laws on farming and food security amidst the ongoing war in Ukraine, which has obviously made food supplies more scarce, given that Ukraine is such a major agriculture provider. So sad to see that this environmental act, which is desperately necessary, is being halted, but we'll see where this goes. Chris?
The Israeli military has besieged three hospitals in Gaza, with reports of medical teams coming under heavy gunfire. Amid this, the United Nations Security Council is deliberating on a draft resolution for an immediate ceasefire that's unlinked to the release of Israeli captives in Gaza. Previous U.S. proposed drafts were vetoed by Russia and China, who criticized them as politicized and insufficiently clear on opposing Israel's potential ground operations in Rafah, a critical area housing displaced Palestinians. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres emphasized the international consensus on the need for a ceasefire, particularly to prevent a humanitarian disaster in Rafah. The ongoing violence has reportedly led to casualties among medical staff and patients, with the Israeli military asserting that the besieged hospitals are being used by militants, a claim denied by Hamas and medical personnel. Riley?
Well, NBC News is in hot water with many of its journalists and on-air personalities after the hiring of former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel. Chuck Todd, who is NBC News' chief political analyst and former Meet the Press moderator, pretty openly criticized the network for the hiring, citing ethical concerns in McDaniel's history of election denial and attacks on the media. And he is certainly not the only one to make these criticisms. A friend of the show, Kimberly Atkins-Store, also heavily criticized the hiring, and she was actually on our show last week. I encourage everyone to go listen to that. But Todd's remarks followed McDaniel's appearance on Meet the Press, where she tried to distance herself from her previous stances, notably acknowledging President Joe Biden's legitimate election win in 2020 and condemning the January 6th Capitol attack. I'm sorry, but those are pretty low bars, and the fact that she had to kind of reverse those statements to me is evidence that she probably shouldn't have been hired in the first place. If you can't acknowledge that somebody won the election and that January 6th was bad, I mean, I don't really know what to tell you. But again, you know, I'm not the only one to question this. Todd himself questioned the authenticity of her statements due to her being a paid contributor, and he's just highlighted the broader discomfort among journalists over her hiring, given her past actions and statements that have targeted the press and fueled baseless election fraud claims. So a story to keep an eye on, and it certainly raises interesting questions about media responsibility. But that is my last story for today. Chris, do you have any parting wisdom for today?
You know, I actually do today, and this is shameless, but I'm going to do it. So I, for an outlet, have been writing a Substack newsletter called Hittin' 50 for the past 2 years. Today, I launched it as a podcast, which is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And it focuses on fitness for the over 50 community. It's a passion project of mine. I do it in my spare time, of which I have very little. But this particular episode focuses on establishing the exercise habit, I have a conversation with our friend, Dr. Kavita Patel, about what exercise does to your brain and, of course, your heart. And I have additional conversations with a nutritionist who is focused on gut health and a personal trainer. So I hope you'll take a listen. It's called Hittin' 50, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts. That's HIITN 50. Sorry for the shameless plug, but I hope you'll give it a listen. That's all I got, Riley.
See, now I feel left out. I feel like I need my own podcast. And I think the faithful listeners of DSR agree that it is time for me to get my own show. So if anyone has any suggestions of what you want me to talk about, please send them in to our Slack and Discord communities if you're a member. Well, that is all I have for today. We have plenty of excellent shows planned this week. We have a above average intelligence planned today, so keep an eye on your feeds for that. Of course, the Daily Blast is already out. It's an excellent one with Paul Krugman, so I encourage you to listen to that as well. And we have more for the rest of the week. Until then, bye-bye.